Psalm 42, let's read verse 1. It says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." What a verse that is. What a verse that is. Do you ever get tired? Do you ever get tired? And I'm not talking about physically tired. I'm not talking about the tired that comes from work. Last Saturday, at the end of that day, we were all tired. I'm not talking about that kind of tired. I'm talking about tired of the struggles of this world. Tired of the heartaches of this world. And tired of the disappointments of this world. Tired of how difficult the ruin of sin has made everything to be. Until sin came, it was not like this. Sin just infected everything. The whole creation groaneth. And it has just ruined everything. David said, "As the hart panteth." A hart is a deer. That's what a hart is. "As the hart panteth." That word means longs for, cries for. Can't you picture a deer just crying for the water brooks? The place of refreshing, the place of satisfying, the place of peace, the place of rest. David said, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." He said, "My soul longs for, and my soul cries for the refreshing and the satisfying and the peace and the rest." Just the that rest and relaxation that only comes, David said, from being with you. It only comes from being with you. Being near you. He said, "I want to be with you so badly." That's what he was saying. "I want to be with you so badly." You don't know what that feels like, and you don't experience that until you start to pant and thirst because of this ruin and this lack. That's what he said in verse 2. He said, "My soul thirsteth for God." You know what thought went through my mind when I read that? Thank God. David said, "My soul thirsteth for God." This is what our response ought to be. Thank God. Thank God. Any soul who can say that with David and truly say, "My soul is so thirsty, just so thirsty for you," that soul ought to cry, "Thank God. Thank God that He put that thirst in me. Thank God that He created a parched place in me. Thank God He created a lack in me. Thank God. Thank God." Do you know what I'm talking about? The way a person becomes thirsty. Have you ever been thirsty? I mean, really thirsty. The way that a person becomes thirsty is by not having any water. That's how. It's how you become thirsty. That thirst is what tells you you have a need. That's the body saying, "There's something wrong here. This is not right. You have a need. You have a deficiency. You have a lack. There's a lack in you." Any sinner who has that thirst ought to cry from the bottom of his heart, "Thank God." You know, all men and women have this lack. But not all men and women have this thirst. And any man who has this great thirst ought to cry, thank God. Any woman who has this great thirst ought to cry, thank God. Because this is what God has to say to any soul who has a thirst for Him. This is what He said. He said, if any man or woman thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That's what he cried on that great day, that last day of the feast, the great day of the feast. He stood up and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. How gracious. How gracious. This is what he has to say to every soul in that condition. He says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He said, if you ask of me, I'll give you living water. He said, if you ask of me, if we ask, that's the thirst. He put it there. He's using that to draw us to himself. But if any man thirst, if any man has a thirst, he said, if you ask of me, I'll give you living water. Verse 2, David said, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. The living God, the living God. Our God is not a theology. Men love theology. Our God is not a theology. Our God is not a doctrine. It is not a doctrine. Does it not bring absolute comfort to your heart to know that our God is a walking, talking, active, reigning, ruling, living God? When I was a young child, I used to think of God. I had a picture in my mind of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. This big statue. That's all he did. And then one day I realized God is a living, walking, moving, acting, ordering, doing, reigning, ruling, controlling, keeping, protecting, providing. God, the living God. David said, my soul is panting for you. You, the living person, the living God. Who is the living God? Who is the living God? Jesus Christ is His name. The Lord Jesus Christ. Sweetest name I know. Sweetest name I know. David said, oh, my soul is so thirsty to be with you. He said in verse 2, when shall I come and appear before God? The end of verse 2. When will it be time for all of my darkness and all of my sorrow to be over? When will I stand physically faultless before the presence of your glory with exceeding joy? When will I do that? David said, I'm tired. He said, I'm thirsty. But he said, I know that the day will come when I get to appear before you. I know it will come. Hold your place right here and turn over to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 13, David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. All of this tiredness, all of this panting, all of this thirsting, David said, I would have fainted. I would have fainted. Unless And that's a big word. I would have fainted unless this was the only thing that kept me going. This was the only thing that kept me from fainting and falling. He said, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If I did not have that hope in front of me, I couldn't go on. But because of that hope right there, all because of that hope right there, everything that is so ruined, everything that is so troubled, everything that is just so empty and so lacking, if I didn't have that right there, I couldn't go on. I just couldn't go on. And verse 14 right here, this is what he's telling himself in Psalm 42. This is what he's saying to himself in our text. Verse 14, he said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He's talking to himself. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You will appear before the living God. You will reach the water brooks. You will. Your thirst will be quenched. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. That ought to be four words in our, that ought to be a quick draw. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. There's always something that seems so urgent and such a immediate problem and such a this and such a that. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He'll take care of it. Wait on the Lord. Well, go back to Psalm 42. Verse 3, David said, my tears have been my meat. My tears have been my meat. They seem to be all I feed on. Have you ever been so sorrowful you don't have an appetite? You ever been so distraught and sad and sorrowful you just can't eat? It's like you can't consume anything because all of that sorrow and all of those tears and all of that heartache is just consuming you. It's just eating you. Well, he said in verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? I'll tell you what will start to turn our sorrows and our self-wallowing and self-pity and heartbrokenness and everything that just ruins everything. I tell you what will start to turn it. Honestly, if you're ever in that place, this will turn it that fast. All we have to do is get a good look at the panting and the thirsting and the weary heartbrokenness that Christ endured when he was sacrificed to God for our sins. That's all we have to do. This is what he cried. And you think about this. This is what he cried. He cried, I thirst. I'm feeling this lack. I'm feeling this emptiness. Oh, the parchedness, the tears. Is it not amazing to you to think of that man crying? Is that not just, oh, how he cried. The last four words of verse 3 say, where is thy God? Oh, how the Lord Jesus Christ cried, where is my God? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Knowing the answer to that will bring a reviving. It will bring a reviving. This is that hope. This is that hope that comes back to our mind. When everything falls so short of everything you hoped for here, this is where true hope comes into play. This is that cup of cold water that a child of God needs. It's what makes a child of God truly long to be with Him. This is what causes the love that creates the desire to want to be done with every suffering, every heartache that this world has to offer us, and to just want to go be with the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. It's that seeing what He endured. That's what makes us cry. You know, the last four words of this book, well, not the last four words, but the ending verses say, "Oh, come quickly. Please, Lord, come quickly. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Oh, come quickly." Verse 4 right here, he said, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." He said, there was a time when I went with the multitude into the house of God, but now I'm all alone. I'm just sitting here all alone. And there are times that even if we're in the multitude, we still feel all alone. But David said, that's the moment that I pour out my soul to you. Whenever he puts me in that place, that's the moment that I pour out my soul to you. Whether there or here, it doesn't matter where it is. I pour out my soul to you. And he said, when I do, when I find myself in that place of true longing, longing for Christ my God, he said, this is the response that comes into my heart right here. Verse 5. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Why are you brought down? I know that you have experienced being brought down. I know that you've experienced sorrow. I know you've experienced that just crushed spirits. And then the Lord, through His Word, brings you back up. And you're so glad. You're just so thankful. You're so overjoyed that the Lord would bring you back up. And that's what He's saying right here. Why are you brought down? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Why are you so discouraged? Hope thou in God. Hope thou in the God who came. Hope thou in the God who was manifest in the flesh. Hope in that God. Hope thou in the God who came to live for His people. Hope thou in the God who came to die for His people. Hope thou in the God who redeemed His people and justified His people, sanctified His people. Hope thou in the one who didn't fail. Hope in Him. Hope in Him. Verse 5, he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him." I will, in person, face to face, praise Him. That means give thanks to Him. And he went on to say, "For the help of His countenance." If you have a center reference in your Bible, do you see, "For the help of His countenance" translates, "For His presence is salvation." You want to know what salvation is? Being with Him. Being near Him. Oh, just being in His presence will save me. It'll save me from all my worry, all my fear, all my longing, all my panting, all my thirsting, all my lack, all my tears, all my discouragement. I know, he said, that being in your presence is going to save me from it all. As you've redeemed me from my sin, you'll redeem me from all the effects of my sin, everything that brings me down. But David said, until that comes, until that moment comes, verse 6, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. That was the farthest parts of the land of Canaan. That was just the outside farthest parts. And he's saying, it's just so tough when I feel so far from you. Verse 7, he said, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Waves and billows are things that continuously come. One wave knocks you down, and about the time you make it back up, the next one's right there to knock you down again. One of the wisest, truest statements I've ever heard regarding life in this world right here came to me in a letter from a dear brother named Dale Simpson a long time ago. And he opened his letter by saying, my wife Jackie and I are currently enjoying the lull between the trials. And that's what it is. It's just like wave after wave, one right after the next. Thank God. Thank God. Verse 8 says, yet, in spite of all that, yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. He said, God will command. This was his hope. This same man, David, in Psalm 23, he said, the Lord my shepherd will make me lie down in green pastures. He'll make me do it. And right here he said, that same Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. Loving kindness means His goodness, His faithfulness, His mercy. He will command it in the daytime. And he said, in the night, His song, His new and joyful song, that song of grace, it will be with me. And he said, it will be with my prayer unto the God of my life, the God who is my life. This is what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 3. He said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. When He appears, He's taking you straight to glory. Now, verse 9, David said, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? He said, I'll say that in my faithlessness. That's where I'm going to say it. I'm going to say that. You watch and see if I don't. In my faithlessness, I'm going to say that in my doubts. I'm going to say that in my fears. I don't know why I'm going to say that, because God is my rock. I'm going to say that to God, my rock, my unmovable, sure foundation. That's who he is. But he said, I will say again, in my weakness and in my fear, verse 9, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? as with a sword, that means a killing in my bones. Mine enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Where is your God? Where is your God? He said, I'm going to be mocked and I'm going to be tormented not only by myself. I'm going to do it to myself. I'm going to do it to myself. I'm going to do it to myself. But not only by myself, I'm going to be mocked and I'm going to be tormented by everything and everyone around me. This is something to know. This is powerful. This right here is something to know and remember. After Brother Henry Mahan's oldest son, Robbie, died in Vietnam. Someone very, very cruelly, someone who did not believe in the God we believe in, and someone very cruelly asked him, where was your God when your son died? He said, the same place he was when his son died, seated on the throne. What an answer. Now, buddy, that will bring comfort to the heart. That will pick up the heart. So David said, in spite of me, the Lord is my rock. That's what his answer was. The Lord is my rock. And David said, in spite of me, the Lord is my rock. And I can truly say in verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. He said, there's no reason to remain cast down. No reason. Look to him. Just look to Christ. Look to Christ. The song says, stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. Everything that is opposite of him will go out the window. Doubts and fears and discouragements and everything goes out the window. The Lord gives us a brief moment every now and then to worship him. It only comes by his Spirit. And when his Spirit blesses us, we truly do gather at his feet. We gather at his throne. There are bits and moments of time where you stop hearing my voice. And you start to hear the voice of the Spirit of God through his own word. You're not hearing me. And it's moments of true, true worship. In the spiritual presence of him. And in those moments, everything in the world goes away. All of it. It all goes away. It's like you just rise above it. And then when it's over, unfortunately, we have to sink back down into it. But stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Lord, bring it to us again. Bring it to us again. Bring us to you again. Because in just a moment, it's probably going to be tonight, unfortunately. We're going to go back out there and, Lord, bring me back up again. Just keep bringing me back up again until you finally bring me back up for the last time. Never to come back down ever again. May the Lord help us to do that. All right, let's all stand together.